Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be in the house of the Lord. We're going to start off. This is Lakin. Stand on up here with me. This is Lakin Turner, and Lakin is wanting to follow in believer's baptism. She had put her faith and trust in Christ, and at the end of the service is going to be baptized. So if we have a motion for Lakin, we have a motion, we have a second. All in favor, raise your right hand, say amen real loud.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Simple as that. All right. And she's not nervous at all. So, right. She is awesome. She is awesome. I am so excited for Lakin. I'm going to go over just a few announcements with you all. There'll be no fellowship meal or WBC kids this Wednesday evening, October the 9th. Brother Kenny will still have Bible study for the children who attend. I want to say, too, it's great to have Nate here with us and his family here. He's going to be the new pastor here, Nate Martin. So praise the Lord for them being able to be here. From my understanding, they had to go down to Georgia, Atlanta, and then back up. So because of the roads and all the devastations going on, but he texted me, I guess you were close to Calvert City, and said, I am in your neck of the woods, which I said, that's God's country right there. But anyway, it's good to have you all here with us. Looking forward to that. The monthly ladies' luncheon will be held on Friday, October the 18th at 11:30 a.m. at Strickland's in Paducah. I still may show up for that. You just never know, okay? Please let Diana Swinford know if you plan to attend. This will be the last time for the ladies until after the holidays. Sunday, October the 20th, during the children's church hour, we will have a special guest and special project making craft siding for a houseboat project for Brazil missionaries. This is Working Together project through the UBA office. Please speak with Brother Kenny Forthman if you have any if you want any details on that. Our annual fall festival will be held on Sunday, October the 27th. If you would like to participate in the trunk or treat, please sign up at the welcome desk as soon as possible. And so it is out there at the welcome desk if you would like to sign up for that. The annual Cope Christmas bag collection begins today and runs through November the 24th. There is a specific list of needed items listed in today's bulletin if you would like more information and like help with that as well. So that's the news here at Waldo. So let's go, Lord, in prayer as we get ready. We're going to be in the book of Philippians, chapter 2. We're going to start in 1, but we're going to end in chapter 2. And so you'll be able to turn there. Let's pray. Father, as we gather together this morning, my mind has been all over the place. I am so thankful for your faithfulness, Lord. And Father, more than anything this morning, I want everything in my life and in our life to point to Christ. It's not about a person. It's about Jesus. It's about a wonderful Savior who died in our place, who did for us what we could not do for ourselves. So more than anything this morning, I want you to be lifted up, to be high and exalted, Lord. Father, we are nothing without you. But we know that with you, we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength to be able to do it. Father, thank you for all of these families that are here this morning. And Father, as we gather together as the ecclesia, as the church, we come for one reason and one reason only, and that is to glorify your name. Father, let us not just sing these songs just to be singing them, but let us know what we're singing, understand what we're singing, and let us sing with all of our heart, mind, and soul to you. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Let's all stand together.
Good morning, church. This is Psalm 56. It says this, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me all day long, an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All the day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life. For their crime, will they escape? In wrath, cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. Christ has given us life. He has purchased a victory, and we are called to walk in that. Let's lift up our voices this morning with an old hymn, Victory in Jesus. Let's lift up our voices together.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atonement.
Oh, He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ.
Holy, holy, holy.
who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. With wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery.
May be seated. If we can have some ushers come now as we worship with our tithes and our offerings. And as they are coming, I just want to say hello to Carter Shell, who's watching in a Nashville hospital, who's recovering from surgery. We're praying for you and hope that you get better soon. Also praying for Bill Christian. We're praying for you and your family. And good to see you here as well. We love you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jason, would you bless this offering?
Kind of gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you. Ask that you bless this offering, that it may be used as you will. Ask that you bless this.
Yes. Amen.
Choose this day whom you will serve, the kingdom of heaven or the powers of earth. Has he not spoken? Have you not heard? There is but one true God. The God of our fathers set us free. His Son paid the price for our covenant peace. Through generations his mercy speaks. We trust in one true God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord our God. This house is the Lord's and all within. May it be pleasing and holy to him. Joined by his Spirit, his people sing. Great is the one true God. Oh, great is the living God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord our God. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit now in us. Let every heart and every tongue praise the one true God. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit now in us. Let every heart, every tongue praise the one true God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord our God.
If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, turn with me to the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians. I also want to say it is really awesome to have my son and daughter-in-law here and my other grandkids here. They are very active at Hardin Baptist Church, and they're here with me this morning on this final morning, and it means the world to me. As we start in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ. We always see most of the time that in Paul's writings or Paul's letters, that he always starts out with a thankfulness, that he's thanking them. And this in particular of the church here at Philippi, that he was just writing them to encourage them because they have been such an encouragement to him through Epaphroditus bringing gifts from the church and encouragement from the church. This is what was going on as he was in jail. And so he was thanking them for their partnership in the gospel. And as I was thinking about this morning, someone had asked me not too long ago and said, do you know what you're going to preach on your last Sunday? And I didn't know what I was going to preach until about a month ago. And in about a month ago, I kind of had an idea, but I'd been thinking about it since the day that I announced that I was going to retire what would be the last message that I would preach. And it wasn't just the last message, it was the last two messages that comes from the book of Philippians. And so I just want you all to know, I want to thank you for your partnership with the gospel, because it's all about Christ. I don't want to make this day or any day about me, because it's not about me. It is about Christ. It's about a wonderful Savior and a loving Savior who came and did for us what we could not do for ourselves, who died in our place. And He alone is the only one worthy of our worship and our praise. And so everything in my life, and I hope that you feel the same, and I think that you do, everything in your life should be about praising Christ and thanking Him for what He's done in all of our lives. That's why we gather as the church. That's why we gather as the ecclesia, to come and give praise to the one who did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And so I want to thank you so much. I want to thank the staff here at Waldo Baptist Church for being so great and working well together. As Jack has said many times, we have been a team. And we've been a team to advance. Last week we talked about advancing the gospel. And so I want to thank just a wonderful staff and being able to do that. I want to thank the deacons for your continued leadership and your heartfelt love for me and for each other and for the church and for the body. There's so many, and I'm gonna say a few, and if I don't want to leave anybody out, but there's just so many to thank. And Susan for making sure that the place is always clean. I'm gonna thank Richard and Tori and making sure that Wednesday night that we're all fed and that kids are fed. And I want to thank the praise team and for always planning and planning around how this song is going to bring honor and glory to God. It's not about the praise of men, but it is about the praise of God. And so they've been very careful about that. And so thank you for the wonderful theology and all of that as well. I want to thank all the Sunday school teachers and all the small group teachers and vacation Bible school teachers who've been pouring into and investing into our kids for many years. And a lot of sacrifice goes into that, and a lot of time goes into that to make sure that the gospel is brought to our community and to our kids. I want to thank all of our sound people up there who make sure that we go online, and for those who are watching online, and for those who make sure that the sound is good. And I want to thank our security team in making sure that we're always safe here and that our kids are always safe. And so I want to thank you. I want to thank more than anything my wife, who has sacrificed in many ways on a Saturday when I may have to leave because there's a family member who's going through it, or during the week, and for years of being able to do that and never hesitated one time to say go, you know. And so there is so much involved here, and so I just want to thank you as a church, for you as a church. I'm excited for Nate because he's going to get to experience your love for him. And that is what's neat, is to be able to see that we love you and you love us and how you care for us. And thank you, Brother Jack, for being such a mentor to me from the time that I come to know Christ to even now. You'll never know how much you mean to me, and I love you dearly. So, Paul thanked them for their encouragement and for all that they did. But we go over to chapter 2 of Philippians, and if you're taking notes, and I hope that you are, if you're going to outline the book of Philippians, the chapter 1, he's talking about Christ is my life. Christ is my life. And in chapter 2, we're going to look at Christ is our model, or Christ is our pattern. If you're looking at chapter 3, Christ is our goal. He is our goal. In chapter 4, Christ is our contentment. Of course, this is my last Sunday, so your homework is the last two chapters in chapter 3. If Christ is your goal in chapter 4, that Christ is your contentment. But as we talk about being our pattern and we talk about being our model, We may have grown up with someone in our life that we wanted to model our life after, Or maybe we had someone in our life that was a hero to us and we wanted to be like them. Maybe you can think of someone right now, whether that would be a Pete Rose or whether that would be a Johnny Bench. Or for me, it was a Kyle Macy that every time that I stepped up to the free throw line, I wanted to grab my socks and touch them and take so many bounces. And I wanted to make sure I hit it. And there's many times in my backyard where I wanted to be like him. And we're down to the wire, three. We're tied up, three, two, one, and I shoot. And it bounces off. And I got fouled. And I go to the free throw line. And even though the time had run out, but I got fouled right before the time run out. So I go to the free throw line and I grab my socks and I go to shoot. And if I missed it, and somebody stepped in the lane. And so then I get another shot until I hit it. And then when I hit it, then I win. And so that was my motto. And so I want us to, if there's something I want to give us this morning, is something that I can encourage you with, know this, that whoever our motto is on this earth, they will always let us down. The reason being is because people are fallen. People are sinful. People have sinned. And no matter who you pick on this world and in this earth that we live, there are going to be people who are going to let you down. There are going to be people who disappoint you, whether it's a sports athlete or whether it's a pastor. There are going to be people who are going to let you down. But in Philippians chapter 2, we're going to see one who will never let us down, and his name is Jesus. He is always perfect in every way. He is our perfect model. He is our perfect pattern to follow after. So if we're going to follow after anyone that's going to be our model, let it be Christ and Him alone. Let's look at this in chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, when you see a therefore, you see what it's there for. Therefore, just to what I said in chapter 1, it says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. He's talking about being united with Christ. It's not about an organizational uniting, but this is about a spiritual uniting. That when you come to faith in Christ Jesus, the Bible says that the Spirit of God lives in you. And get this, you live in Christ. You live in Him in the heavenlies. And therefore, you have been united with Christ. And then as the believers come together, because the Holy Spirit doesn't just dwell in me as a believer, but you as a believer, the Holy Spirit dwells in you as well. And you also are in Christ Jesus. As we come together this morning, we come together with one common denominator, and that is Jesus. That's why we gather together, to come together and give our worship. He is worth it, our worth to Him, because He is the only one who is worthy of our worship and our praise. And as we look, it says, united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. He's encouraging them to be one in mind. Paul said, this one thing I do, I press on toward the goal of Christ. That should be the common denominator of all of us, that we are longing for the mind of Christ. I know you know this, but let me remind us that there are wages of war that are fighting for your mind. This world is fighting for your mind. You don't believe me? All you got to do is look at commercials. All you got to do is look at social media. There's all these things that are competing for your mind. And have you ever been... you've never had so many things going on that you just really can't think? Because you got so much going on in your mind. You and I are to be one in mind, like-minded. Let this mind be in you, that of which also was in Christ Jesus. And so therefore, how are we to have the mind of Christ? Are we just to listen to other people to have the mind of Christ? Are we just assume to have the mind of Christ? No. God has given us His Word so that we will know the mind of Christ, so that we will know the heart of God. In order for us to have the mind of Christ, we got to know the heart of Christ. And He's given us this in the Word of God. And so, as we study the Scriptures, and as we dig into the Word of God, we begin to know who God is and what He has for our lives. What He has for our kids. Kids are like sponges, right? I mean, they pick up everything that you're laying down. You say something and they come back and repeat it and you say, where did I hear that from? Where in the world did they get that? I mean, you may have said something, you don't even realize you said it, and they come back and repeat it, and you think, what in the world is going on? Because they pick up. You and I are older now, we don't pick up quick. Kids pick up really quick. And so therefore, we have to be careful. That's why it's important through family devotion, through reading of Scripture, through what you listen to on the radio, through letting them see you and hear you. Reading the Word of God, because these things that are going into your mind come out of your life. And He's saying here, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Having the same love. Christ is our model. He's saying that we should have that same love of Christ. Christ didn't love you when you got yourself right. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for you. He loved you in all of your mess. He loved you where you were. Sometimes we want to love people where we think they should be, instead of loving them where they are and loving them to Christ and not to love them away from Christ. You and I are to love them. We are to have the same love. Think about the love that Christ had for you. I mean, think about the love, think about the patience, think about the goodness, think about the kindness. I am blown away. If you just pause for a moment and think about God's patience in your life, there's no way that I would ever be patient with me the way He was patient with me the way He was patient with me. There's no way that I would love me the way He loved me. I can't love like He loves. But therefore, that's why we got the Word of God, so that we can grow in our mind of Christ, and so that we can grow in our love for Christ. And we are to have the same mind, the same love, one in spirit. It says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Do nothing. It doesn't say do some things. It says do nothing out of selfish ambition. The truth of the matter is, let's just be real here. This is us talking. We're selfish people. Well, we don't like to say that. We like to look at someone else's selfishness and not look at our own selfishness. But if we're going to model Christ and we want to be like Christ, a personal relationship with Christ, then the Bible says that we are to do nothing out of selfish ambition. If you don't think that you're selfish, just ask your spouse. And don't do that. Okay? Don't do that. But anyway, we want what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. I mean, have you ever been mad after you finished going through a drive-thru? And they put ketchup on your burger and you said, I want my burger plain with nothing on it. And then you drive away and sometimes you get home and you look at it and it's nothing what you said. And then all of a sudden you get mad, you get so mad you call the store and you let them know, because this is not how I ordered it. This is not how I wanted it. That begins to show. Or you're watching TV and you're not sharing the remote control. As a matter of fact, there are those who are remote control hogs. You ever heard of the ball hogs? They have remote control hogs that they always want the remote control because they're always wanting to watch SportsCenter or whatever it is. We are selfish. The reality is we are selfish when it comes down to it. And here he's saying, do nothing out of selfishness or vain conceit or selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others better than yourself. Again, Christ is our model. When you think about Christ and how he valued us. Do you know how much he valued us? He bankrupted heaven to come and live in this trash, in this sinful world that we live in. He bankrupted heaven. He valued others better than he even valued himself. And he is God. And he says, rather in humility, he values others better than yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Don't look for your own interests. This world tells you to look out for you. Look out for your own interests. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible tells us as Christians, we should be looking out for others. You know what joy is? And this is an older statement. You may have heard it, you may have not. But joy is Jesus first, others second, you last. That's what joy is. Statistics show that the happiest people on the face of the earth are people who serve others. People who look to value others. People who look to uplift others more than they look to uplift themselves. The unhappiest people on the face of the earth are people who think that they are owed everything. Or that it's all about them. The reality is, it is not all about us. It is all about Christ. This isn't Trad's church. This isn't Jack's church. This isn't Nate's church. This is God's church. It always has been, and it always will be, because He alone is the only one that is deserving of our worship and our praise. And so therefore, we are to look to everyone else's interests. What happens if we come through these doors looking to be servants and not looking to be served? There are some people who get upset over the littlest things. You know what I'm talking about. You ever got upset over the littlest things? The music ain't right. Well, they don't sing enough contemporary songs. They don't sing enough hymns. That preacher, he used too many illustrations. He didn't preach enough out of the Bible. I don't like the way he dresses. His beard's too long. He don't even have a beard. He should have one. I mean, the littlest things, I get jealous of beard people, okay? I try. You know, they have No Shave November. I start in, like, July. This is where I'm at. And so we get bent out of a shape. We get sideways in so many ways. But we're not to look out for our own interests. Look what he says. Rather, in humility, value others better than yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each other's interests. The interests of others. In relationship with one another, have the same mindset of Christ Jesus. Amen. Now here we go. Here's that model that comes into play. Having the main mindset of Christ Jesus. Verse 6. Who being in very nature God. It is important that you understand that Jesus is the God-man. In his nature, he is of the flesh here. He wrapped himself in flesh. He is fully human, but at the same time, he is fully God. He is sinless, and we are sinful, but he is the God-man. In Hebrews, the Bible says that he can identify with us in every way. If you say, well, you just don't understand me. I may not understand you. And you may not even understand your own spouse. We may not understand each other. But there is one, and his name is Jesus, who understands you better than you can ever understand yourself. He can identify with you in every way. You may say, well, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't know what I'm feeling. Jesus does. Good to see you. Jesus does. You say, well, you don't know what pain I'm going through. You don't know the heartache. Jesus does. No, I may not, but Jesus does. And in very nature, he is God. Did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. This goes against the grain of the world. He made himself nothing. We want to make ourselves something. This is where the selfishness comes in. We think that we're somebody. If we get so many likes or so many shares on social media, that this gives us value. It doesn't. It's not about being at the top, and it doesn't matter who you step on. It's about being at the bottom and helping others to achieve a greater walk with Christ. It's not about living. It's about dying. It's about dying to yourself every single day, your desires and your wants. It's about dying, because when you die, you live. But if you're living for yourselves and you're living for what this world has to offer, you're going to be disappointed and you're going to be brokenhearted. But when you die to yourself and you live for Christ, you will have a joy that is unspeakable. And your growth will take off. Why? Because you're not living for you. You don't live your life for you. You live your life for the one who died for you. And that's what we are to do. He says, He made Himself nothing, but taking the very nature of a servant. Of a servant. They, the church at Philippi, was serving Paul well. He was in prison. Epaphroditus was taking him stuff from the church. Epaphroditus almost died for serving Paul and the church serving Paul. He became a servant. You know, there was an argument at the dinner table about who is going to be greater in the kingdom of God. Isn't that just like us? We just want to know who's going to be greater, who's the best. You ever lost, and the person you lost to holds up their finger and says, number one? Ate your lunch? I mean, there was an argument that arose at the dinner table as to who was going to be greater. And Jesus, in all of His wisdom, is going to use this moment as a teaching lesson. And He stood up. And He wrapped a towel around His waist, and He grabbed a basin of water, and he went to the disciples, and He did the unthinkable. He began to wash the disciples' feet. And I'm not talking, they didn't have socks and on clouds on. They didn't have socks and tennis shoes on. As a matter of fact, they had on sandals, and some may not have, and they didn't have paved roads or concrete roads. They had dust, dirty, muddy roads, and there was dirt caked all in their feet, and He began to wash their feet. And some of you are saying right now, I don't know if I can touch a foot. But this is Jesus. Can you imagine what they were thinking? What is He doing? Comes this one guy named Peter. Now, you know, he says, if I don't do this, you have no part with me. You know what He was teaching them? About servanthood. He was teaching them of the mind, an attitude of Christ, to be a servant, not look to be served. When you come through these doors, you don't come through these doors looking how the church can serve me. I'm going to say that one more time. When you come through the doors of this church or any church, you don't come through the church looking how the church can serve you. That's selfish. You come through these doors looking, how can I serve the church? How can I serve the row that I'm sitting on? How can I serve the balcony? How can I serve the front row? How can I serve out in the foyer? How can I serve over in the children? How can I serve in the youth? If it's raining, you grab your umbrella and help people come in. If it's snowing, you grab a shovel and you go shovel the sidewalks. How can you serve? You can go get a glass of tea for someone or water. But you have the mindset to serve someone else. If you want to be like Christ, He's a servant. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient to death. And he doesn't just stop there, if you notice. Even death on a cross. The cross was the most shameful of all deaths. And here is an innocent man who's going to a hill called Golgotha, a place of the skull, and he's going to be in the middle of two thieves. And you know what? It's a spectacle. He's on display for all to see, and he's right there in the middle. Have y'all ever been embarrassed? I mean, here he is. He's not embarrassed. He goes willingly as a lamb to the slaughter because he's on a mission, and it's to do the will of the Father. And he dies a death that was meant for each of us. And in the middle of this is awesome. There is a man who repents and believes. And he looks at Jesus and he says, "Remember me," after he had argued with the other thief. This man has done nothing wrong. We have. He has done nothing wrong. We have. He admitted his own wrongness, his own sin. We have. I have. Remember me when you enter into thy kingdom. And Jesus, the most beautiful word, says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Amen. He's fixing to die. And he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And then the other who didn't repent, that day he split hell wide open. So the question is, which side of the cross are you on? The one of the repentant thief, or the one who was prideful and thought he could do it his own way, when he wanted to do it, how he wanted to do it, and if he wanted to do it? And then, even death on a cross, verse 9, "Therefore," there's another "therefore," "God exalted him," Jesus, "exalted him to the highest place." He humbled himself. He emptied himself. He became nothing. He became a servant. "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name." There is no other name like Jesus. Remember that always. There is no other name like Jesus. There is just something about that name. Everywhere Jesus went, things happened. I mean, the blind saw, the deaf heard, the leper was clean, the dead rose. Everywhere that he went, the cool thing is that we get to be a part of what Jesus is doing. This is awesome. And here, he gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow. Every knee would bow. Whether your knee bows now or bows then may determine where you spend eternity. Because your knee will bow. And then it says, "In heaven and on earth and under the earth." And where? And under the earth. "And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You see, as a believer, Jesus is not only your Savior, He's your Lord. He is not only your Savior, He is your Lord. Jesus is not someone you can put on a shelf. And you go to Him when you need Him. Jesus is not someone you leave here at church as you go out these doors. Jesus is not only your Savior, He is your Lord. He is your model. He is your pattern. Wherever you go, you're to model and pattern Christ. You're to be servants, not only at church, but get this, at your workplace. At school. at school? How can I model Jesus at my school? How can I be a servant at school? I mean, you look for ways to serve someone else. Oh, I forgot my milk. I'll go get it. Let me go get it for you. You don't say, why'd you forget your milk? What? You go get it. I'll go get it for you. Or if you see someone sitting by themselves and they don't really have a friend, you get up and you go and sit with them. And you serve them. Or if you hear someone talking about someone else, you say, no, they're not. And you begin to serve. You look for ways at how you can serve. Why? Because Jesus isn't just your Savior as a believer. He's your Lord. He is your Lord in everyday life, in everyday living. So I want to encourage you, church, to live your life like Christ. To have the mind of Christ. To have the heart of Christ. And ask the Lord this. Ask the Lord this. Lord, let me be more like you and less like me. Let me be more like you and less like me, that others may not see me, but they see Christ in me. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for this passage of Scripture. It's one that has resonated with me for years. Lord, I thank you for the words and for the strength and for the power of it, Lord. Something that we need to hear on a continual basis. Father, we would be totally hopeless if you didn't bankrupt heaven. If you didn't leave the glory of heaven to come to dwell in our midst, to die in our place, to rise from the dead, and to be seated at the right-hand side of God the Father. And Lord, for that we are so grateful. We are in awe of your wonder and of your beauty. And Father, I want to thank you for your faithfulness through all generations, and especially in our generation. Thank you for those times that you've carried us during the most difficult times of our lives. That you were there at that moment that we lost someone that was so dear to us. You comforted us in that moment of pain. You loved us when we were so unlovable. You were patient with us when we were so impatient with others. Lord, help us to model you more and more, that people would see Christ in us. Let us decrease, that you may increase more and more in our lives. Thank you for being a Savior. Thank you for being our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men.
Sing it.
across the way. Oh, we hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. The ground his body lay. There in the ground his body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day. Up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hands till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
This is Lakin Turner. Lakin, do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? Lakin, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, I baptize you, my little sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Buried with him by baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. Amen. And you'll go out this way. It sounded